and welcome to episode 314 of Muse on Minis.
Musing and amusing.
This is John, and I play Protector Domenoth.
Nigel, and I play Kador.
This is Keith, and I'm playing Retribution and Signar.
Brent, and I'm playing Signar and sometimes Legion.
This is Seabass, and I play Kador and Trollbloods.
Nice.
Oh, Seabass, I love you. Scott Taylor, Brent Simon, welcome to the podcast. This is your guys' first time on, is that right? Or am I confused?
Yes, sir.
Brent, have you been on before?
I think so.
Maybe
can't
once.
Can't remember.
You can't remember?
Back in the hundreds.
Really?
It would have been back in the hundreds.
Very cool. Well, we have a fun-filled episode this week. We decided to do something different. Since talking about my opinions went over so well this time, I decided to get other people's feedback. And we did a lightning round, which we haven't done in forever. So I'm kind of excited about that. I think a lot of you guys out there kind of get in the spirit of it, and we have a good time with it. So I'm just looking up that post. This is excellent radio. Keith, you can fix this in editing. That would be amazing.
Or you could fix everything in editing.
That's true. No, you don't.
Sometimes.
Yeah. So I actually was talking to Brent about how he was going to have to edit, and he's like, you realize I'm just going to cut like 2 seconds off the end and then ship it back to you. And I'm like, well, that's edited. It's pretty much how we do, right? So
I have a slightly more involved process than that. It's very technical, but...
All right. So lightning round. Well,
we're just going to jump right into lightning round. We have no news nor announces?
Actually, before we do lightning round, let's talk about the new, I guess probably the biggest announcements would be Company of Iron.
What's that?
It's their like introductory, not introductory, it's sort of like their small scale game that they're going to be doing. I think they call it, is it Company of Iron or Tide of Iron? I can't remember exactly the name. Scott, is that something that you've looked at or?
Yeah. Company of Iron is like their skirmish level game. So instead of playing a much bigger battle with like, you know, people who use Focus and Fury, you're going to play like much smaller battles. Nothing with a large base. Did you want me to just kind of go into it, John?
Yeah. Just go ahead and kind of explain what it is, and then we can talk about it.
Yeah, so it's a skirmish-level game set in the Iron Kingdoms. You're going to be able to use all of your, most of your War Machine models. They will have some new models introduced to it, and those models will eventually get integrated into the War Machine game. Essentially, like it, what it's meant to represent is like a small-scale skirmish. So you're looking at armies that would consist of about like 25 points. So a lot of like local players were kicking around ideas of like a min unit of Satixis plus the Satixis Raider Captain, and then like a Pistol Wraith and a Soul Trapper would be like a 25 point ish build. So you're looking at really small skirmish stuff like that. Solos act like solos still. Units will activate like solos do. So you still have like dudes and they'll activate individually, but still have to follow like some command rules. And then essentially it's alternating activations. So it's an I go, you go system instead of alternating activations instead of an I go, you go system. For a skirmish game, I really like that system, personally. And then they'll also have like a card system that'll give you the ability to like administer buffs. And do different things with your army since you obviously don't have a spell list from a warlock or a warcaster available. So it looks really, really interesting. A lot of my local players down here, we're all pretty pumped about it. We're ready to try it.
Brent, do you think that this will be a good way to like introduce new people to the game and get new players?
I think it will help them get to a larger army better, because instead of going, here's a battle box, and in the long run you won't use most of this, it'll be, here's the Company of Iron, now you just need a battle box to go to the full-size game. It also seems to have kind of a Mordheim feel to it, even if it doesn't actually work out that way. So that'll make a lot of... There's a niche market for that type of game. I do know that most of our players... The players here who quit playing War Machine because it was too big are looking at this again. Like they're looking at Shadow Wars and Guild Ball.
Cool. Keith, do you have anything you want to add?
So I like the back and forth activations is an interesting way to it creates a couple of different it changes the game in a couple of interesting ways. You're going to be less focused around army synergies because they are naturally easier for your opponent to disrupt, and more focused around the power of individual pieces and their own usefulness. So this is where we might see some of those lesser used combat solos come to the fore, which might be something fun to play with that you haven't gotten the chance to do before. It's also a lot harder to spend time anticipating very far into the game, because a good War Machine player can see 1-2 turns ahead, maybe, with some clarity. And 2 turns ahead in a game of War Machine is a long time. 2 turns ahead in Guild Ball or a skirmish level game is not as good. See, it's actually a harder skill to see farther down the road in those games. So it's either going to be naturally more casual, or if it becomes a serious game, in the same way that the skill ceiling on something like chess is really, really, really high, the skill ceiling on an alternating activations miniature game can get really, really high as you attempt to peer 10 turns down the line.
Nigel, was there anything you wanted to add?
I'd have to see the game. I'd have to see more. It's tough to, like, based on just the precursory thing I've seen, I like that. I like the scale. I hate the way it looks like it's being implemented. Like, all the point values are 1-to-1 exactly the same. So it's like a 16-point unit. It's a 16-point unit. Then you get your 4 points solo, and that's your 20 points. And
you want it to be more like a Mordheim style.
Where you a la carte buy dudes one at a time, and then you sort of build your cool little force of, like, you know, I got my 3 snipers, and I got my some guys to go in there and beat face, and I got some.
So you have, like, your Man of War guy to, like, tank. And
yeah, exactly.
And your, you know, your Great Bear.
I think if they had done that, it would have been, like, Windmill Slam amazing. And the worst part is that they could have, Games Workshop, when they do these games, the system's the same, like the framework, the structure, like all the attributes are the same, the dice are the same, but the scale's different, and so the points are a little tweaked, and there's a bunch of little things that are tweaked and changed a little bit. So you can be familiar with the game, but there's way more to it. Like, everybody has just, like, more rules, it's a little more dynamic and interesting.
Scott, will there be anything like Mordheim-esque as far as, like, experience gaining and, like, having your Company of Iron, like, level up in any way, or is it just a skirmish level game?
Yeah, so from what I understand, for example, when a model is boxed, there's actually, like, once they're removed as a casualty, like, you can track that model, and then for campaign purposes, like, that model will get a wound, or they will develop a special rule or something to that effect. So, like, there's going to be, if you want to play it in a campaign setting, there will be a level of persistence, and, like, changes that will happen to your force organization, to the units that you choose over time. I also, if I understood it correctly, and I'm not 100% clear on this, because the interview that Hungerford did and then the comments from Will Pagani later, they weren't 100% clear, but to my understanding, there will be, or there might be, smaller division of units for some of the larger cost units. So there may be the opportunity to take, like, instead of having to take 5 man-of-wars or 3 man-of-wars, you may have the ability to take 1 or 2 of them. I don't know yet, because that's kind of up in the air. But they did hint around that some of the larger units may see some adjustments.
Cool. Well, I'm excited to kind of check it out once it actually is sort of in the flesh and we have the rules. And it might be a really fun way to, like, burn an afternoon just playing some War Machine, because, you know, the core rules of the game are fantastic. So I'm excited for it. All right, are you guys ready for lightning round, or is there any other news and announcements?
Just CID stuff, but I think we're going to avoid diving too deep into that.
Yeah.
Did you touch on the no quarter change?
No, I guess we didn't. That's actually a really big change. Thanks for bringing that up. Did you want to cover that, Brent?
I can. So no quarter is changing with the next issue. Each one going forward will contain a theme force, but instead of the traditional theme force breakdown, is going to be apparently 18 pages to 20 pages detailing each model selection and how it all goes together and some tactics. These will be replacing the theme books, which my understanding is have now been pulled from the release schedule. Couple that with they are also going to be doing a multiplayer scenario per no quarter. They are also going to have their off-game support, Unbound, Grind, etc. And the part I'm actually really interested in is they're going to do not a retcon of the fluff, but a retelling from day one, starting with the next issue, which will mean I will end up buying No Quarter for the first time in, I think, 6 years. If they keep up this pattern, if they use the CID to test the theme for the next book, so everything is a theme release, and makes each issue a combination hobby issue plus multiplayer scenario campaign issue and all of that, I think they'll end up with a really very nice product that reminds me of, honestly, a little bit of White Dwarf when I got into this hobby back in the mid-90s.
Oh, back before White Dwarf became one large advertisement?
Yeah.
That's great. So they're going to call that, if our memory serves, Prime, right? So it's No Quarter Prime?
No Quarter Prime launches with issue one next month, and the first issue comes with an exclusive mini of some kind, which I'm going to assume is Holden. Also, as a little bonus something, Pagani made a comment in one of the Facebook groups that Convergence will be getting content in No Quarter this year.
Well, that's exciting. I still have my entire Convergence army because I can't bear to part with it. It's beautiful. So actually, there is now that we talked about No Quarter Prime, there's a few other news and announcements we need to talk about. Privateer Press has announced that they're no longer in the bookmaking business, right? So I think you alluded to that, Brent, that they're no longer making theme books, and there won't be any anthology books, right? They're just going to do – basically, everything's going to be released through No Quarter or through digital content. And I thought they said something else. Somebody help me out.
Now, my understanding is they're still doing – they may still do the anthology book because they're not doing rules releases. But I thought I still saw physical book releases for the fiction.
Oh, they may do fluff books, but they're not doing, like, when I say anthology book, they're not doing the here's the four the four hordes factions plus minions in a book with models for everyone, which they had already scrapped in the past, but that's not coming back with the changes. Nigel, you have something you're biting off?
Yeah. I was like, I'm just curious, is it Kador getting the first theme and then a No Quarter Prime?
First theme is going to be the trenches.
It's lame. Not Kador.
The cover of No Quarter Prime is Siege 2, who's apparently a trencher caster, coming down to deliver the hammer blow with his jetpack.
Right, like he's riding inside a Minuteman, right?
Because nothing screams trenchers like Minuteman battle armor jetpacks.
Yeah.
I kind of felt like he looked a little bit like Sigmarine, if I'm being honest.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's neither here nor there.
Is it Sigmarine or whatever the new dwarfs are with the floating Terminator armor, Stormbolter,
Caradrons, or whatever?
Yeah.
Well, whatever. And then the other major announcement that they made, Keith, did you see that they announced that they're going to be doing one faction every year?
I did see that, one faction a year. Game stores are going to have a little trouble with that, I think.
Well, it's just going to be one giant blister pack, though. So it's like the SKU count will be almost nothing.
I did see a post on that said it's not as big a deal as we're making it out to be because of the last 4 years, they've basically released a faction a year on three of them. If you assume Mark III counts as a faction release, they've released Convergence. Actually, maybe more than that. Convergence, Grimkin this year, and Cephalix, and Mark III. And the off year, I believe, was the Battle Engineer. Or not Battle Engine, not Colossal Year. So,
sorry, Brent, to cut you off. I don't think it's a big deal from a standpoint of can they physically produce rules and models for a faction every year. I have no doubt that they have the capability of doing that. I think where my concern comes in primarily is what it does, like Keith alluded to, number one, it's brutal for game stores. Carrying the line is already really hard. The SKU bloat is going to be immense. And then number two, like the weight of all of those new factions on the balance of the game is going to make it very difficult, I think, over time. But that's just my
opinion. Well, I mean, not assuming that they keep it inside of Theme Forces, then it's just pretty formulaic at that point.
I'm assuming every new faction will either be limited release faction or Cephalix style subfaction. And I believe they said that basically is the case.
Yeah, because Grimkin cannot – they don't really function outside of their theme forces. They are designed intrinsically with their theme forces. And I assume that will be the way of the new factions going forward, which makes them easier to balance and, I guess, less diverse. They're just sort of like a couple of lists, mostly, or a basic theme with some variations.
So, Scott, do you have any idea of like what factions we might see coming down the pipe?
I have no idea. I think if I had to take a stab at it, I would say Zoo is probably going to become like just throwing darts at a dartboard, I would say Zoo becomes like a sub faction of minions, which I think could be really cool, kind of like how Cephalix is to Mercs. But we still haven't seen Infernals. I was really hoping Hollow Men were going to be Infernals. So maybe we'll see like Infernals and Zoo, and then, I mean, who knows? Like, it's Imarin's a big place. So, like, we've only seen like Western Imarin, right? So there's an entire world that we haven't seen yet. So I'm pretty excited. My only concern, my only thought, and I want to kind of go back and touch on the balance issue. I'm going to have concerns about balance if all the work that was done to CID, I'm going to have concerns about balance if all the work done through CID doesn't show promise. But if all the work that the players and the feedback the players have submitted into CID results in some really, really good changes, like to the battle engines and the Crix theme force.
Or the number of widgets.
The number of widgets. Yes, that's a thing too.
See, they were already reducing skew bloat with the widget reduction.
Yep.
Yeah, but it wasn't their skews. Never mind. But if we see like some changes to that are positive, I think it'll be good. I have a lot less concerns about it.
Keith, what do you think?
About?
Just one faction a year. Excited?
No. I'm happy with the factions that I have. I haven't really felt the need to grow out too terribly much of late. Like I played the Retribution that I bought for fun, and it's a good casual faction to have right now. I've got Signar for competition, which is doing well, and then Crix is in the wings. I played with Grimkin some in its alpha phase, and it's all right, but I didn't like. I'm going to go buy a new faction.
Haven't you ever just sat there like on a sunny Sunday reading the fluff and wondered, what are the people living underground doing in the Iron Kingdoms? Or what are the people that live in the sea? What are they up to? Wouldn't that be cool if they just like came out of the sea and attacked? Or
what kind of aliens do we have in the universe?
Who's in space? Who's in space in the Iron Kingdoms? What if they just landed on a meteor? And then,
we know who's in space in the Iron Kingdoms. It's the Maiden of Gears from Cirrus.
Space is a big place. It's not like just this. Everything outside the planet is this Maiden of Gears person. That sounds like very flat earthy.
Did you just call Simon
from a narrative standpoint? They already work pretty hard to keep everybody mad at everybody else all the time.
Yeah.
So the more factions you involve in that, the
I know the fluff. The fluff could be amazing. Just the stories. And then the butcher saw Cray pulling a wagon, and the wheel had fallen off. And the butcher is like, normally we would fight, but today I shall change your tire. And so he pulled over, and then Amon Abraza came in with two ironclads, and he's like, he's using ironclads now because it's a tier list. Fuck you. And he showed up, and they were about to fight, but he was like, well, no, you got to like use my chain to wrap your tire so it's better in the snow. And they're like, oh, awesome, we shall be allies. And then he lent him his flail, and then a space alien showed up, and they all fought it.
The easy rule of thumb is, which characters have mothers named Martha?
Yep, all of them.
Oh, man.
That's what Menoth is. It's the Martha of the Iron Kingdoms.
All right, and on that note, we're done with news and announcements, and we're moving on to Lightning Round. For those of you not familiar or who haven't listened to this podcast for a while, Lightning Round is where we put a post up on Facebook and ask for questions that can be answered quickly. So the rule of thumb is you have to answer this question in a sentence, basically. You can't expound on it. And so I'm just going to read questions from users and call on someone. So we'll start with Justin Brown. He says, Keith, this is for you. Why aren't you playing more X-Wing?
It's a bad game for bad people.
Ooh, cold.
Jeez.
All right. Well, aggressive. Sorry, hey, Justin. Scott.
My rib shook.
Actually, I'll let Brent Simon answer this one. RJ Marchant. What is the best way to enjoy MTG, Magic the Gathering in this case, and why is the correct answer draft?
Because you have to beat seven people at the table in the drafting phase instead of one in a one-on-one matchup.
Incorrect. The best answer is sell all your cards and enjoy that money that you have now.
Still working on that.
Magic cards.
all right. Scott Christopherson asks, how do you feel the reduction of points to win to over by five will affect list composition, if at all?
How do I feel the reduction of points
to over by five instead of over by six, right, will affect list composition, if at all? So now you can win by five in SR 2017 instead of win by six.
Sure. Yeah, so I think ultimately, quick answer, I think ultimately what happens is that playing four scenario becomes even more viable again. So, like, if you can get a hold of a really fast or a really life scenario, and you have a army that's built for it, like, I think you can actually build the win-on scenario if all you have to do is be up by five. So it might affect it a little. I don't think it'll affect it a lot, but it might affect it a little.
Scott does not understand what one sentence means. That's okay. Nigel.
Go ahead.
Chip in.
I was like, I disagree with Scott. I think it's broken as all get out.
Yeah? All right, well, maybe
that's one sentence.
We will come back to that after the lightning round. Maybe we'll make it a bonus topic.
A little controversy.
Yeah. You guys just hang on to your angst for a little bit. Nigel, Luke Alexander Barron wants to know, Destiny 2 or Anthem?
Oh, geez, Destiny 2 or Anthem. Neither.
Neither?
Resident Evil Biohazard or Persona 5 or Resident Evil 15, or Final Fantasy 15.
Boom. Brent, we'll go back to you because I don't want to ask Keith this one. Brent Holstack wants to know, what 40K army is everyone looking at? I guess everyone should answer this. So, Brent?
None. I flipped through the book and realized I had no desire to ever play GW games again.
Nigel?
I have Necrons, so I'm going to go with that.
Keith?
Is there an undead one?
Necrons.
Okay, undead, probably them then.
Undead robots.
Yeah.
I mean, robots are much lamer than just regular old undead, but I'll take it, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Scott?
Grey Knights.
Nice. Oh, a real answer. And I'm actually looking at Harlequin, so I'm kind of excited to play them.
Nice.
Keith, Paulo Miguel Uy, who I met in Ontario, awesome guy. Would you go back to Mark Toole rule set if given the choice?
That is a very easy question for a Crix player. Yes, I would. Well, I guess there are a lot of Crix players who are probably rolling in there. But I mean, like Ghost Fleet, is it any worse than Body and Soul was? Because Body and Soul was a good time. Yeah, I would go back to Mark T for sure.
In a New York minute. Scott, Anthony Aziz wants to know what the best color of maple syrup is.
The only color of maple syrup.
Which is?
Like there's only one color of maple syrup, right? That's it.
Well, Scott, I'm disappointed. The best color of maple syrup is purple.
Yeah, isn't the best color of maple syrup whiskey? Is whiskey a color? Is that an option?
That is.
Now, John,
yeah.
To be fair, you did ask the diabetic which poison he needs to ingest most.
Well, I mean, that's fair, right?
This is true.
Don't you occasionally have to have like maple syrup as an emergency procedure? Isn't it also life-saving?
Oh, yeah. I suppose we should have a syringe with maple syrup just in case Scott needs sugar, right?
Exactly.
Absolutely. That's exactly what it is. Just inject it straight into my heart. That'll solve all the problems right away.
Don't be ridiculous.
I got you this weekend, Scott. I got you.
Thanks, Brent.
Nigel, Bodine Sias wants to know, when will you do an Infinity podcast?
We talk about it literally every week. It could happen at any minute.
Okay. So the Infinity podcast on the docket.
Mm-hmm.
Brent, Henry Marcus wants to know, how do the Muse crew feel about Trencher's CID in general? And what is the first theme book you hope for each of your factions? So I guess after Brent answers, we can all answer.
The Trencher's CID in general highlights everyone complaining about Signar. In specific, however, it buffed Stormlances, so that makes me happy.
All right. And what theme book do you hope for?
There will be no
I mean, I'm playing Signar now. I've already got Heavy Metal and Storm Division.
Okay, that's fine. We'll move on. Scott, what theme force are you hoping for?
I'm really looking forward to the Scorn book. I think there's going to be some really neat stuff, and I think all Scorn needs is a good theme.
Keith, you got a theme force you're hoping for?
Do I have a theme force that I'm hoping for? I'm looking forward to seeing the Dawn Guard theme force.
That'd be cool. Nigel, how about you? You got a theme force you want?
Oh, yes. As a Kador player, I've been just like essentially dying for just a couple more themes to fill out the faction because it's actually pretty tough right now. I feel like we're not that far ahead of Scorn, and we need the help, especially to keep up with Signar. So I would go with a Shock Trooper theme, an Assault Commander theme, a Kossite Woodsman theme, and then a...
Don't you have a Kossite Woodsman theme?
They're Isn't in the theme. Jones? They're like a toss-away. They're not really part of the theme. You don't get bonuses for Kossites. There's just like guys you take because you took too many jacks and you don't know what to, you know, you don't have enough jack models and you don't have Kaiazi assassins apparently, so then you take Kaiazi. But if they had a Kossite theme that worked with like the old witch or something cool, boom.
I guess I'll answer this. I hope they come out with another exemplar theme that either gives me multiple wounds on medium bases, like 8 wounds instead of 5, or tough on small based units, either one, and I would be in.
Oh yeah, and a Grey Lord theme. Sorry, jumping back in there, but yeah,
you don't ask for much, Nigel.
I do hope they don't nerf Oracles too hard.
I'm actually going to answer.
How's that for a theme?
I'm going to answer the next one for, and I'm going to have, this is going to be Josh answering. So Rohan Davis has asked, can I have more Troll Dojo? The answer is no, absolutely not. Not until Chad comes back.
Every now and again, something, I like when I'm talking to DeShazer a little bit, we come up with some troll stuff that I will bring up.
Okay, that's fair.
I've got some Troll Dojo I can give y'all. It's pretty sweet.
Not necessary. Nigel, Daniel Adamson needs to know, he was dealt King Jack offsuited. Do I fold, raise, or call? It's to me. Please respond quickly.
King Jack offsuited, you fold.
Are you in the small blind? Like, if you're in the small blind, I'd call that every time.
Yeah, I'd raise that. Anyway. The right answer
is... I'd probably raise from the big blind.
It's raise or fold. Those are the two answers.
And it's to him, and we don't know where he is on the table and how big the pot is. We just have no idea.
Yeah, we have no information.
There's nowhere near enough information to answer this.
It's not a top. It's not a top 11 hand. I would slow play it, or I would, play small, drop it.
Get out of there before you get hurt.
Yep.
You obviously don't know what you're doing. You should fold. Get up and leave. That's terrible. Brent, what are you most looking forward to this year from Shane York? Board game, card game, video game, expansion, miniature game, faction, etc.
Getting married.
Good answer.
Whoa, butt kisser.
As far as if she's ever going to listen to this podcast.
Yeah, this is going to magically be playing on the car on all trips from now on.
it's not that. It's if I give any other answer, everybody on this call makes sure she hears it.
Not me, man.
Just Scott Taylor.
Just Scott, yeah.
He's the only one with an axe to grind.
That's a Scott, what is your favorite gaming story so far this year?
Favorite gaming story so far this year?
Yep.
Probably the nonstop trolling at MuzonCon. It was pretty fucking epic, or pretty epic, and it was great.
See, this is why you have to edit, because you swore.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it works.
Yep, I'm so sorry.
Keith, Jamie Lumsden wants to know, what broken BS is Keith playing at the moment?
I think the only broken BS that I'm still playing is Kane 3.
Daryl Granger wants to know, and Keith, I'm going to ask this for you because I think it's most applicable to you. 300 plus episodes in, what knowledge would you pass back to your younger selves who were starting out at episode one?
Kill Donald Trump while it's still easy.
Oh man, I think mine would be to maybe not do 50 episodes without an onboard mic. That might be my tip.
Oh yeah, your microphone's not working would be a pretty good one.
I don't know actually how many episodes that was. I think it was like at least 12, right?
Yeah, it went on for a while.
Yeah, it was nice that we had like some sound techs come help us out. Nigel, Chris Weinstein wants to know, what's your favorite game system right now?
That's a toughie. I like Batman. It's between Batman and War Machine. Just being totally honest, I enjoy Infinity and Guild Ball. But my favorite two would be Batman, War Machine.
Nice. Byron Lyles.
Wait, you think kids with cancer need to be eradicated?
Wait, no. We skipped that part, Keith. I'm MCing.
Oh, I see.
He also asked why John hates kids with cancers. And then Lance, he said, I actually, trash charity, pound trash charity. They must be eradicated, which is absolutely not true. Like, this is just slander.
Are you trying to say irradiated and missed?
No. I don't even know what he's talking about. Yeah, anyway, moving on. Keith, this is a good question for you. Byron Lyles wants to know when we're going back to multiple episodes a week.
I would imagine never.
Not so fast. I was thinking about it. I wouldn't be opposed to us doing like 3 half-an-hour shows a week. But on
Would you rotate the format so it'd be Infinity the Monday, War Machine Wednesday, Guild Ball Friday?
Something like that.
Correct.
Yeah, not necessarily exactly that. It wouldn't be the same cast every...
And it would be different editors. So, you'd only have to edit the half-hour War Machine cast versus whatever.
Right. So it'd be more of a variety show and have a lot of our personalities on, but we would grow the family, as it were. Nigel, Matthew Cole wants to know, how much does Nigel miss Boneheads?
A lot. Also, I saw that Mozambique was back in the news. Something happened. It's like a country, or Mozambique.
Yeah.
And people got killed, or missionaries got beheaded or some weird stuff. I'm like, damn, it made me think of wings. I got really hungry reading the article.
Yeah, because you had those Mozambique wings.
Yep, Mozambique wings.
God dang it. Scott, what is your favorite beer at the moment?
I have been drinking a lot of Bud Light Platinum.
Bud Light nice. Platinum. Oh my God, Josh is rolling over right now. Josh, this is your fault.
He is.
Your stupid sunburn. That was Steven Dielstra. He also wants to know how much he has to pledge on Patreon to see the Josh and Nigel's Beer Machine game from, like, was that 4 years ago?
Four, maybe four.
That video is never finding the light of day, although I need to find that. It's got to be on a SD card.
Yeah, it's an SD card somewhere. It could literally pop, yeah. Somebody could be going through our cameras, find it, and then next thing you know, it's on YouTube.
Yep. Brent, will Company of Iron be a superior way to teach new players over BattleBox?
I'm going to pass because I'm actually not allowed to play new players for 6 months.
Scott, you want to jump in there?
I think it actually might be. I think being able to deal with like smaller activations and going back and forth will make it easier to teach a bigger game.
Yeah, they cleverly did not put the avatar and then choir into it, so like nobody can have the 20 point.
Nigel, which convention most influenced MuesonCon?
Probably CaptainCon.
Yeah, 100% CaptainCon. Those guys they were just so far ahead of everyone in just con organization. I love the way they do things.
Yeah. CaptainCon then close second to kind of spiritually War Machine Weekend, Privateer Weekend or whatever DICON's calling itself these days. Yeah.
War Machine Weekend and DICON both, actually. We wanted the feel of just hanging out.
But DICON's kind of changed a lot. It's not what DICON, we're thinking like DICON from 7 years ago was the inspiration, and then CaptainCon now is the inspiration.
Yep. Keith. A Troll, Scorn, Dwarf, Rhett, Circle, Cock, and two Cawdor are dropped into an 8-man tourney. Who comes out on top and who ends up spooning?
What are you doing? Let's see. The Circle? No, I mean, there's supposed to be a humorous answer for this, and I'm just not feeling clever at the moment. Dwarf players are the worst, so I assume that player will lose. But it'll be a close tie with the Scorn player. And I believe in the Rhett player and the COC player to come out on top. Kador is no good. They're going to be somewhere in the middle.
Well, I mean, Kador players are the worst.
We do need tier list help pretty bad. So yeah. I agree.
Is Brandon Shirley piloting the Kador? Because it is definitely in the middle.
I mean, it doesn't matter. The faction needs help, and hopefully they get addressed in CID.
Yeah. Scott, are you going to take this back to Brandon that we blew him up on the cast?
Absolutely. Would not miss this for anything.
Is he going to be mad?
What? Just wait for the next L2 cast to come out. You'll get your answer.
I'm not going to bother listening to that.
Nigel, I do agree with you entirely. I really hope 10-point Marauders get addressed in CID a lot.
Yeah, down to 9 points.
like Hunters a lot.
I think if you take 5, you should get a free solo in any list. And then... In addition to that, you can tear them up.
Uh-huh.
They need mechanics. You can't just like run 10 Marauders at people and not repair. So it's like it's a huge problem because then you have support bloat and it gets in the way of list building. It's actually a Kador problem. It's no longer a Troll problem.
All right. Who here played Mark 1?
I did.
I did.
All right. One of you guys answer this. On a scale of 1 to 3, how Mark 1 is Mark 3?
That doesn't even make sense.
2. I'm going to go with 2.
All right, moving on. Brent, is Mark III worth getting back into? Do you feel the community is growing locally, nationally, and worldwide?
Yes, it's worth absolutely getting back into. It's, in my opinion, the best version of the game in regards to core rules. And the community feels like it's stable. It feels like it's growing new members, but it's hemorrhaging some old ones, which is about what you expect of any miniatures game at this point.
Honestly... if you really take inventory, we're not losing anybody. Like, if you really, like, if any community needed to hemorrhage some old efforts, this one was lit. Like, if you really think about, you take stock and you're like, who's not here? You're like, oh, this has got a lot sweeter. It's actually just like win-win, like more sunshine, honestly.
I think, in general, the question is skewed a little bit because anytime a high-profile player leaves who's been your friend for 5 years, you think the overall community is going down when in reality someone decided to have kids and focus on family or someone decided they wanted to do other stuff.
Or had a pink panty meltdown because they don't like tier lists or whatever. Who knows? But
I suddenly realized, yeah. And that was neither of those were directed at anyone on this. I'm thinking of some of the other players that have left recently, actually.
Oh, no. One of those was 100% directed at me, but that's okay.
Wait, what? No, not you. That wasn't directed at you.
Yeah, it was 100%.
Actually, neither of them were, John. I'll be honest.
Yeah. All right.
Mine wasn't either. You just got caught in the splash, damn it.
I don't care.
You're still in the community. You podcast.
I do. No, I'm probably going to be playing the game here some pretty soon. That's my story, and I'm sticking with it. I guess we'll go with Nigel. He might be able to answer this. What merc list does Josh like nowadays?
Osram Gun Bunnies. That's basically his favorite list. It's a very good list.
Yeah, it's like actually, it's the what do they call that theme force with the
Rulik?
The Rulik one with the
Osram with just whatever all the dwarfs. Osram with like
Hammer Strike. That's Hammer Strike, it. Okay. Sorry, yeah, that's what he's playing, and he basically runs 4 to 5 Gun Bunnies, like 3 heavies, and
yeah, he runs dwarfs. Like 3 Drillers, 5 Gun Bunnies, and then. It's like 3 units of Min Dwarfs or something, or like 1 max unit, 2 Min, and then he has the Battle Engine he's experimenting with, just pooping Dwarfs out of the Cloaca.
Yep. Oh, this is a question from our good friend Chad.
Yep.
I'm going to send this one to Nigel.
Nice.
Since the flavor of the month is yearly new factions, I want to hear every cast member give an elevator pitch for a new faction, each one dumber than the last. Remember, the bar is currently at Grimkin. Bonus round, just have Nigel answer this question like 4 times, which is what we're going to do.
Well, we should do a first round of everybody take their first stab, and then I have to just reel off 4 after that.
All right.
That's the way like I was reading it.
Fine. Scott, you have to give your elevator pitch for a new faction.
I don't understand what an elevator pitch is.
An elevator pitch is you've got somebody trapped in an elevator with you, and you have 30 seconds to basically sell them on like your proposal.
Which is, in this case, a new faction. What should the next faction for War Machine and Horde should be? Go, Scott.
It should be Zoo. And the reason why you should play Zoo is because stabbing people is great. And stabbing people with weird tentacle monsters from continents you've never seen is even better. So in that way, when something screeches across the floor and latches onto some dude's face, you can all laugh and say, what is that thing?
Good effort, Scott.
Good effort.
Yep. I got nothing, guys.
No, it's fine. You did, yeah. It was an actual good effort.
Exactly. No, you did exactly what I expected you to do. Keith.
Dragons and giants. It's got to be a faction of nothing but huge bases.
120s.
A bigger base size beyond that yet for the dragons, who are also the warcasters for the faction.
Garbage can
and so
lids.
So just like, say what?
Garbage can lids.
Right. Something about that size. It's like you've got your dragon leading the army and then 3 or 4 giants, and that's the whole thing. And it's going to be great.
Yeah.
Everyone will love it.
The cool thing about that one is that you'll be able to play a building that then poops out more of them. So then you can, it's nothing but room to grow, really. Design space
and
for days.
And when you play this faction, you also are forced to play on a bigger table. So it's just for that game, though. I think that would work well.
Yeah.
Seamless transitions.
All right, Brent, your time for your 30-second elevator pitch.
Gobbers. They're the unofficial face of the company. They already have a long-standing presence. You can cross-utilize a lot of the existing models that players already have and sucker them into buying more. And on top of that, Age of Sigmar is taking off, and we know those players like randomness, so we can add all kinds of goofy animosity-style rules.
I like it.
The other thing about Gobbers is like they're ripping off Weird, so they might as well go after GW next, right? So.
Yeah, but they have enough existing IP with Gobbers that it's not a complete ripoff.
That's fair.
And then John?
Oh, I have to give one?
Yeah.
It came from deep in the sea. Just imagine mermen. Not mermaids. Mermen.
Hmm.
With swords and spears and whips.
There'd have to be both. There needs to be fan service.
No.
Fan
service. Are they coming from the sea to get the women?
It could be.
Where are you going with this?
Yeah, they're coming from deep in the sea.
Nice.
Is this like, how do you envision this? Is this Cthulhu-esque or Aquaman?
Aquaman, 100% Cthulhu-esque. Come on. All right, Nigel, you got to reel out 4.
All right.
Go.
The bar is set very high.
I already basically pitched all these to Keith earlier, but I was basically like, I always wondered, what's going on underground in the Iron Kingdoms? Mole people. One day the Rulik finally dug too far, and they uncovered that which could not be named. Mole people. And then the mole people come out. And then the mole people come out from underground, and then they start attacking Imran all over the place. They like come out of sewers, and they're unstoppable. They stop traffic and stuff. They're really inconvenient. Then you'd have people that live in volcanoes, volcano people. It would be crab men. Crab people. So like deep in a volcano where lava's really hot comes crab people. So there'd be a crab people faction. Then you'd have space people. Who'd come from space, clearly, where the chick of Cirrus lives. She she owns most of space, but then she didn't clean out her closet. Yeah. And then that's where they live. And then what else did I have? Did we do? Well, no, Grimkin are kind of fairy folk, aren't they?
They are.
Yeah. But are they leprechauns?
No.
The leprechaun faction. They're lucky. They hide gold. Oh, no. Powder skigs. Also the powder skig faction would also be legit.
What the hell is a powder skig?
They're in the Iron Kingdoms. They're like these rats that eat, literally just they eat black powder, and then they run around and explode. Like if you attack them, there's like
the skigs?
Yeah.
The skigs are hilarious.
Yeah, yeah. You need a whole faction of just skigs.
Huh. All right. Moving on to the next. Go ahead.
I want to just take a moment to say that I'm glad I don't read the fluff. Like, I just, with that whole comment.
Says the guy who's looking forward to No Quarter Prime retelling all the plot.
Yeah, no, I love a slow motion train wreck.
Nice.
I read Wrath of the Dragon Father, okay?
Ooh.
Ooh. Yeah. All right, I'm actually going to take this next one. Aaron England asked, your favorite Minis Con memory? And for me, that's really easy. That was when Hungerford presented me with the army that Privateer Press was nice enough to put together after mine burnt in the fire. It was a very strong memory, and it was pretty cool. So,
I think mine was when Charlie Foster sent a bunch of like girls volleyball players to ask John for his autograph. That was a good time.
That's pretty awesome.
Probably the only time that I've ever been speechless.
Mm-hmm. It was awkward for John, for the rest of us. Hilarious.
Yeah.
Well, that girl was so aggressive. I have no idea.
She was selling it. She sold it hard.
Yeah, no, it was very uncomfortable. Like, am I going to jail or to hell or both? I'm pretty sure I was on a path. Like, yeah, it was bad. It was bad. Keith, this is from Brian Hoppel. Is the inherent mutability of CID the cause of the prolonged new edition instability we seem to be in?
I don't know that we're necessarily in. Well, let's see. So it's a question of first, do I agree that we are in that this is a prolonged time of new edition instability? I think the cause of any new edition instability is the lack of polish on the edition itself. Like, there are a number of things that might be happening here in CID that were like, this could have probably been handled at the changeover, and it would have made, they could have done more sweeping things and hammered things in and not had to sort of ambush people with any bigger changes that they happen to want. The only thing I think that's really causing a problem with CID is the slow rate of transition from testing to reality. Like, we haven't seen anything from CID become a reality yet. And that, so we have no idea of what that timetable is, which is making those CID games more and more unpleasant for me.
Changes this week as Battle Engines go live, I believe, according to Pagani.
Well, it hasn't happened yet.
But that, he said we're looking at about that timeline, 2 to 3 months, I believe.
All right. That's interesting. Nigel, I'll give this one to you. Jens Dielstra wants to know, would giving vanilla lists an extra 10 points to compete with the free points from Theme Forces be enough to get people to play out of theme?
I think vanilla lists should get 2 free solos. 2 free medium or small base solos of 6 points or less. Something like that.
So that's like 10 points.
Yep.
So your answer is yes.
Yep. But it should be that specifically. And what makes that unique is they could take mercs or whatever they want that way.
Yeah. I'd be on board for that.
Mm-hmm.
I'd probably be a lot more excited about the game. I'll answer this next one. Brian Kerr, this is the last question. Whatever happened to the Flashdance bet? It only lives in my thoughts before bed.
Mm-hmm.
And 100% what happened to the Flashdance bet is Josh welched on it, and he's...
Yeah.
That's the story, because he got a sunburn, so he's not here to defend him. So that was the lightning round. I kind of am sorry that we didn't have the Irish in there, like, blowing it up like normal, but...
Mm.
And normally they would have found it.
Yeah.
But they're all Guild Ball players now. Or leprechauns.
Indeed. Well, this has been another episode. Oh, actually, did we want to... What was the topic I made you guys table? I told you to hang on to your angst. It was Scott and Brent. Come on, guys.
Scott not going to DICON or...
No.
I'm scrolling back up.
Hold on.
I'm scrolling back up the...
It was whether or not the shift from being up on 5 control points to 6 control points will lead to significant Genesis and list construction in SR 2017.
There we go. Let's talk about
that. A few games into it so far, and I'm really hoping there's other unannounced changes we haven't seen, such as a cap on how many control points you can score in a turn. Privateer's design element seemed to be, let's throw control casters down a hole by making them win by six and making it so we're going to put these flags everywhere that you can't score. And then at the last minute, it feels like they realized that we still weren't taking units because we have all these free solos from theme list, right? Why would I take a unit? So we're going to make solos score flags and units score zones and make people think they need to take units. When you realize that a control caster now rather safely can get another control point a turn with a solo on a flag, and you're going to have the solos, and the change to winning by five instead of six, either of those changes in a vacuum, I think, would have been enough to bring control casters up to where playing for scenario is viable, but not overpowered. And the combination of the two, I think you're immediately going to see people picking up any TK caster again and going, maybe I can just win on scenario, not have to play the game out.
So you're thinking Haley 2 is going to be a monster?
I personally know Haley 2 is going to be a monster. I suspect Kruger 2 will see a lot of play again. And I also suspect with the fact that at least a couple of the scenarios have a flag and a rectangle in your back zone, that jam lists are going to become a thing again, where I just throw Tharn in front of you so you can't get to contest these last 2 points. And now I'm going to win by, you know, 5 points a little bit faster.
All right, Brent. What?
John, how did the pirate become a boxing champion so quickly?
I don't know.
Nobody was ready for his right hook. Arr!
Nice. Nice. High quality. Come on.
Perfect.
Amazing.
Josh is not even on the podcast this week. Brent, you're never getting invited by me again. You might get invited by one of these other guys, but that's never happening.
And then, Scott, to go back to your point, just what I want to expand, or just I basically wanted to like tie it up a little bit or put a bow on it. What's helped me kind of come around completely, well, not I don't know, is that ultimately I'm not, as a customer who wanted Mark III to essentially be this like bulletproof version of Mark II, like, okay, we've got it fixed. We've had two editions. We know what balance is. We're getting the granularity, like we're doubling the points and getting more granularity, and a lot of the wishes didn't land on like a lot of the hopes and dreams that we had. But then I started thinking about it. We actually never got a Mark III. We're getting this weird beta, like essentially this is that beta
Mark II field test.
Mark II field test, and that's essentially what we're in. That's a really long, protracted Mark II field test, and we're actually playing Mark IV. Is like the way I'm starting to think about it. It's like, okay. So we're actually in this like long haul. Like they'll get there. So then we have to just be like, we gotta wait for tier lists. We gotta play around. The meta's always gonna be evolving now. And then we kind of need to like hang on there for like a year or two to like, which is weird because they released, what are we? This is the first year anniversary of Mark III.
Yeah, came out of Lock and Load.
And I mean, they're not even like they're done with digital. The cards that they printed were worthless, like because so many word changes and erratas had to happen immediately. Like, there's so much. It wasn't an edition that was at all finished, I think. So that's some of the and people are like, I feel like the anger is misplaced. There's an acrimonious sort of air about like the state of the game, and it's actually should be more like it's just a lack of sort of perspective that like the game isn't actually a finished product. They didn't get a signed seal. They should have. We probably should have. Or slash been more. I think.
So it's like buying a video game, and now you're just like, oh, I need to get all the DLC.
Yeah, exactly. And there are people, but in those models, if you know, in video games, it's a perfectly legit. You know, if I spent $50 on XCOM and XCOM had to be patched repeatedly for the first 3 months, as long as my end game is that it was an awesome, you know, I'd feel like I got my money's worth if. At the end of the day, I'm playing a great XCOM in 3 months, you know? And that's sort of what we're at now. It's just, it's really protracted because so many people have to get, but this new no quarter thing actually is kind of exciting because it's like the no quarter thing is actually brilliant because I was just not looking forward to books. I hate books. I love books. I hate that books are worthless. Like the idea of a role playing book, they're not artifacts. You can't keep them. They're literally garbage every 4 years. Like you're just buying clutter. You're buying very expensive clutter that's actually hard to move when you move, and it's, like, worthless. So, like, getting rid of it, putting it into no quarters, and then have no quarters actually associated. You know, one of the problems is if Mark IV happens and you have all these Mark III books, you have this catalog of hardcovers, which I'm such a rube for hardcover books. So I have like a huge collection. They come out with Mark IV. I now have, you know, 100 kilograms of paper that I have to throw away, and it's just miserable. With no quarters, I have 30 no quarters, and I still like to go look at them for all the articles, like all the paint porn. Like, the paint porn alone. Like, I still have Confrontation magazines and stuff. Like, I still have old White Dwarfs. I have old White Dwarfs and Confrontation magazines, because it's like, at the end of the day, you still got to, like, pull out that centerfold.
And that's a really good point. Like,
but anyways, I guess, yeah.
It frames that very well.
I got rambly, but I just might want to point out that we're literally in this, like, giant nebulous.
Yeah, if they called this Mark III field test, I would not be angry right now. I probably wouldn't even be frustrated. I'd just be clamoring for them to make changes in the field test, which I guess in a way we kind of are in, right?
Yeah.
Technically, I guess you're right with CID and everything, but
I think it's getting there. And for some of us, like for Signar and Kador, the game's almost there. I mean, Kador needs more tier lists, but, you know.
Stop.
Manoth will catch up too. John, you'll get some love. They'll put the sun on you, and then you'll be sweet. And then Trolls, you know. Scott Taylor could...
Hey, Northkin Theme Force coming out soon.
Exactly. Then you'll have a faction to go play and not embarrass yourself with mine. And then you know, whatever. Everybody will get their love. And so even Crix will be back one day with something other than just whatever. Ghost Fleet.
How did this turn into a 2.5-hour podcast?
You guys, I don't know. It's my fault. I'm an idiot. Sorry, guys. Do any of you want to go out on a bang? Anything we got, any controversial things to say? Oh, you know what? I got to controversially apologize. Not apologize. So we already covered the Tom Wurzinger, Tom Clueis controversy, but in the pre-ramble before anybody even got on. But yes, I threw a lot of Minnesotans in one giant lump. They aren't all named Tom Clueis. There are different Toms, but they do all play Kador, and they all are varying degrees of quite average. But
just right, you can't help yourself.
Can't help myself. It's impossible. No, they're awesome guys. And then also, we haven't really had a lot of podcasts. But yes, I got called a bullet dodger and who knows what else. But I wanted to make a point. Never mind. I guess it's not long enough to go. We don't need to make the addendum. But Brendan Shirley felt like I misrepresented some things that he had said on like 4 podcasts ago, and I wanted to basically. I didn't misquote him, but they were misinterpreted by our own people on the cast, and then I did not correct that interpretation, and so it was weird. But yes, Brandon said that adding rules to widgets complicates the game and makes it more difficult for new players. That's 100% what I said, and that is not exactly how it was received. So either I used complicated words, and then made, you know, but anyways, Brendan, ultimately, his point is correct, inherently true, and that adding more rules does complicate games for newbies, and then that's basically that. So it's a nice one.
Nice. So yeah. And Keith, if you could just cut out like the last hour.
Yeah, mostly just, yeah, whenever we get into too salty of a area, just like,
Oh my God, am I still here?
Yep. If you start hearing like a salt quotient go up, just like, I edited it out.
All right, Scott. So the program is called Audacity, and... So I guess that's probably enough for one day.
Yeah. I mean, we got these poor hostages.
Thank you for tuning in to another episode of Muse on Minis. This has been John.
Nigel.
Keith.
Brent. Scott.
We'll catch you all next time.
Peace. Okay, we're recording now, by the way.
Nice.
It's brent.j.simon@gmail.com. Let me see. Can I copy this? No, I don't want to thumbs up it. I want to copy it. brent.j.simon@gmail. the listeners are getting a little... also, I'm letting him know he gets to edit this week. Brent Simon, what could possibly go wrong with this plan? Are you getting Scotty Boy on here, too?
Yep. He's on his way home now, so he's going to... He said he'll be there in a few minutes.
That's perfect. Perfect.
I don't see a brent.j.simon@gmail. I wonder if I have to continue the .com.
Probably.
We might have him. I think we got him.
Uh-oh.
If it's a bear who's crying as his avatar, then that's him. This will be awesome with Scott on, too, because A, we can hash out what all this bullet dodging is about. And yep. Then B, I can sort out some of the Brandon Shirley drama. Also, yeah, I've got to, like, have a like an addendum to this week. And crazy crap Nigel said that has to be clarified.
Oh, well, we're recording segment. Right now.
Yeah, yeah.
FYI.
Yeah, yeah. So. The, well, this is a good time because it's just the two of us.
Yeah.
In the post-MomCon episode, I made fun of the Minnesotans and that they all played Kador and that they're essentially that they're all named Tom Clueis. Yeah. But they're not all named Tom Clueis. Some of them are named Tom Wurzinger, and there's probably like a Tom Hardy and like a Tom whatever. But I got all my Toms confused. There's too many Toms that play Kador.
All right.
But one of them, I guess, well, whatever.
Well, we could certainly, this could be our redaction episode.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, but I could also take back everything I said the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
About War Machine being bad. I'll literally be like, War Machine is great.
Yep.
I love it. He is getting Skype loaded on his PC.
Okay.
Dipshit McGee. I told him that he gets to edit this week. He's like, I don't have tools or know how to do that. I said, not my problem. This is the price of fame, Brett.
Perfect.
Perfect. I mean, it'll probably be edited better.
Yeah. Yep, absolutely.
And it would be otherwise, so.
Hashtag mailed in.
Yeah. Oh, maybe Lance would do it.
Mm-hmm.
We should have called Lance.
Oh, yeah, we could call Lance.
Yeah.
I don't know if Lance would want to be on. He's kind of a Guild Ball guy now.
He is kind of a Guild Ball
guy. He's kind
guy.
Of a pundit.
Yeah. Are we going to do lightning round with these guys on?
Yeah.
All right. I guess I'll just MC it. I'll just read the questions and you guys can answer it.
Yeah, that'd be great.
That'll work. Boop, 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 boop. Maybe Keith will dial in and then this will become fun.
Mm-hmm.
So... I don't know why. I just want to see that mummy movie.
Mm-hmm. Do you like Tom Cruise?
No, I think he's an idiot.
It's okay. I like Tom Cruise.
I like
the
his
Jack
movies.
Reacher movies are great.
Yeah, Jack Reacher's good.
Also, we didn't bring that up. Who was it that was saying his movies have been bad since the 90s?
Thomas. Yeah, I forgot about that. Yeah, Jack Reacher was good. And the second one was pretty good. Not near as good as the first. But, Edge of Tomorrow is great. Although I can't believe they're making a sequel to that movie. Doesn't feel like sequelable. Well.
The Jack Reacher movies do make you wonder, though, because if you actually look at them objectively, they're just John Wick.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, if they'd gotten a different actor, would it have been more hilariously received? Like, Tom Cruise does fine in it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, if they got The Rock to be in it, would they, like, how much
it
bigger?
Probably would have been huge, right?
Yeah, people would be like, oh, my God, that's the best movie ever made.
Like, also, from what I understand, like, the character of Jack Reacher in the books is a monster big guy.
Yeah, yeah, he's like a wish fulfillment dude.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
So I'm pretty sure The Rock would have been just perfect.
Yeah.
Actually, I don't know how any other action star, like, acts right now anyway, because it's just like, that's not The Rock, so it's probably not as cool as it could have been.
It's like, you've got The Rock and Vin Diesel, which would be like, if Arnold versus Stallone was more like Arnold versus Danny DeVito, like, it's not an awesome, you know.
Yeah, we get to watch Twins every time we watch.
Fast those two Fears. Together, yeah.
I like Statham a lot, too.
Statham's good.
He's getting up there, but...
But, like, Statham would be, like, Bruce Willis, you know? Like, you had Arnold and Stallone, and then you had, like, the Bruce Willises. You had, like, the other tier. Patrick Swayze's.
Oh, Patrick Swayze.
Mm-hmm.
Before your time, bro.
He didn't even really get to do all the cool. He only did, like, a few.
Like Red Dawn.
Yeah, Red
Steel
Dawn.
Steel Dawn, or what was it called?
Red Dawn.
Red Dawn and Steel Dawn, right?
I don't know about Steel Dawn.
Wasn't the one where he was, like, walking around in the waist with, like, a headband and had, like, a sword?
Hmm. This sounds like Zardoz.
No, I'm not making.
And then Steel
up.
Don sounds like something his brother would have been in. His less talented brother, Don Swayze.
Steel Don the movie. Yep, nailed it.
Perfect.
Right?
Yeah, I keep seeing that. I was like, is that actually Patrick Swayze? I guess it is.
It is. Yeah. Huh. I remembered something about a movie from the 80s that you didn't. That's weird.
There's a couple that slip by. Like this dog. There's a Dog Skull movie with Rutger Hauer. It's like it's got Vincent D'Onofrio in it. It's got a bunch of like actors in it, and it's basically. It's basically Guild Ball set in some sort of like post-apocalyptic future, and then they all play with the dog skull, and like no one knows why it's a dog skull, but it's a dog skull. Like, I don't know. It's bizarre.
Okay.
But yeah, Brian loves that movie. He basically lives his life by this Dog Skull movie.
Brian
Gilling.
Oh, how's he doing? This is Red Dawn or Steel Dawn. It's real bad.
Yeah,
but I loved it. I watched it when I was like, I don't know, preteen.
It looks pretty good.
Yeah, he's like a samurai walking around the like Mad Max future.
Yeah, it's got awesome actors.
This is our Blast from the Past movie pick of the week, Steel Dawn. You guys should all go out and watch it. Not just watching the trailer now.
This looks epic. It's like the entire band Bon Jovi is like fighting each other. Oh, they've got a Jake Lloyd.
Wait, Jake Lloyd is in this?
Well, it's like a little kid that looks like Jake Lloyd.
I was like, I don't think that's possible, actually.
Yeah, I just saw an awesome jousting. Yeah, this is like ghetto Mad Max. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah, you never saw this? This is Patrick Swayze. Like, I'm surprised because it's Patrick Swayze, whom you purport to love.
Yeah, luckily there's Cody, so I'll probably be watching this soon.
Like tonight, maybe even.
Oh my God, that's amazing.
Yeah, you thought I was making that up. Or probably misremembering, which would be par for the course. So that would be
Scott Taylor. God bless his heart. He's like, are there any topics I should prep for?
All right, call Brent Simon. He says he's up and running. Oh, my God. This is not that serious. I love people that are like, well, how should I prep?
Oh, Caulfield.
You would think that people that have listened to this podcast would realize that there is no prep.
Tell him he's got to accept my contact request.
1 second. I'm yelling at him now. All in caps. Actually, not really. oh, God. Maybe these guys will know something about Company of Iron. I would be excited for it if it was like Necromunda. Like if you could build a Warcaster.
Yeah.
You know?
If you could build a warband that way with, like, single dudes, but it sounds like you'd buy a whole unit.
Yeah, so...
Taylor will be ready in 10 minutes.
10 minutes? What, does he got to take a shit?
Yeah, apparently.
Tell him he can, like, do his deuce later. We got podcasting to do. The worst.
Also, when we Skyped him earlier, I think he answered his phone, like, the Skype call in the bar. And now he's driving home from the bar.
Well, it couldn't be as bad as Tom going in a fish aquarium. All right, try calling Brent again.
Call ended. Well, I did.
I may start this recording over. I think we must still be.
That one he actually answered for a second. Oh.
I guess I can do my disappointed Asian father voice.
Oh, I got to add him now.
All right. Oh, and now he added me, too, as a contact.
There we go. Oh, we got it figured out.
Hey, good evening.
Whoa, you even sound great.
Yeah. Brent, how are you doing, buddy?
Fantastic. And y'all?
We're doing good. We're recording right now, just as an FYI.
I hear there's a pre-ramble at the end of this or something. I don't know. Y'all play the ending credits and I change to the next one.
Yeah. So just so you know, you need to download Audacity. That's a program.
Audacity.
That's a program you use to edit podcasts. And then I'm going to send you this file. And it's going to be a big one. But
John.
But no, this is really easy. It'll be fine. Just trust me.
You realize I'm going to take the downloaded file, cut out the last like 2 seconds, and send it back to you, right?
I mean, that would be
business as usual.
That would be exactly how we edit.
That's all we need.
Yeah, jeez, Louise. You're not going to take this opportunity to troll us? All right.
Damn it.
It's fine.
Damn it. You gave me the one difficult question there.
Yeah. Right.
Do I troll John?
No, I didn't say troll John, so never mind.
No, that's what I heard. Nigel?
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have Scott Taylor on here in a minute, too.
Oh, I'm sorry.
this actually might be good. So we're a little short this week. Josh has a rabid sunburn injury. So
okay.
He can't he couldn't get here because he got sunburned so bad he can't put clothes on.
So Scott's on my shit list because yesterday he was going to come down and play games, and I blocked out like the entire afternoon for him. And at 8:30 in the afternoon or in the evening, he goes, "Yeah, I'm just going to go back home and not even going to make it down to you."
Sweet.
Like, I've got a guest room. We'll knock out like 5 games. You get to go to Gateway at the end of this. This will be good.
To Gateway?
Yeah. Gateway Open.
Yep.
Is that this weekend?
That's this weekend.
Jesus, going, right? Crispies. Well, I wanted to, but yeah, I didn't realize it was this weekend. I thought I had more time.
You can still go.
You play Kador, you're fine.
Yeah.
No, that is true. That is totally true.
Yeah, just load up that theme list and you're good to go, buddy.
Yep.
I mean, you even have like 3 viable theme lists, which is two more than anyone else, and three more than Minoth.
One of those theme lists has 2 different variations. It can actually be played 2 ways.
Stop. Right. Hey, I said I was not going to be a Negatron, though, but you guys are not helping me right now.
John, in all seriousness, Vindictus XM4 theme looks fan-freaking-tastic.
I'm sure it's fine, but it's not the kind of list that I like to build and play.
You know, by the way, I'm going to totally punt. When Scott gets on, I'm going to tell him that since he was the last person to log on, he has to edit.
Yeah, that's fine. He'll do it, too. Yeah. So that'll be no problem. You watch. Scott will be like, okay, like, what do I do, guys? And we'll be just watch. It'll be great. You just got to keep a straight face while we do it. And we'll just say that we had a vote while he wasn't here, or we drew straws, whatever you want to say. It's fine. And then, yeah.
Well, I was going to tell him that the least successful Kador player had to edit.
Yeah.
Did I hear that Nigel got called out on Learn to Wargame?
I don't listen to their podcast. I only listen to y'all's and like three others.
You actually why
was an exclusive company were in.
I listen to Storm Chamber, Dark Guidance, y'all, and I can't remember the fourth off the top of my head. It was I think it's Banky's.
Oh, Arcane Assist.
Yeah, Dark Guidance. Is that the East Coast guys?
No, that's
Aussies.
Loud Chris and
okay.
Tom Guan was on that podcast for a while until he got kicked out of Australia.
Hmm.
Well, I actually think he was actually on that podcast after he got kicked out of Australia. But yeah,
I used to listen to Blight Makes Right when it was a thing.
Oh, Omnis's podcast.
Yeah,
Blight Makes Right. Hail
Hitler. Oh, that always got the best stories.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And he ended every podcast with like, and then my opponent asked, "What's a Forsaken?" And I looked at his Harbinger. You know.
Yeah.
Blight Makes Right.
Blight Makes Right. Hail Hitler. I'm sorry.
Hey, I will have you know it is this weekend is the 23rd, so I have not picked up my Legion in 9 weeks.
Well, they have really good theme forces, so.
They do. They have a very viable theme force, and they have a very solid second theme force, and then they have Children of the Dragon.
Yeah.
Which is to Jake's credit, he found exactly one theme I think that works in Children of the Dragon. I was impressed.
I think anything works for Jake, if I'm being honest.
His theme force was Proteus, and the rest of his points were Shredders under Abby too. So he literally went Children of the Dragon to go first.
I'm just saying.
25 Shredders. Yeah. No, he's
it's Jake.
Insanely good.
Yeah. Like, I think he might be the best War Machine player right now. That I see
he can certainly make a solid argument for it.
Like, who else would you put in the conversation?
Banky, who beat him head to head at the Southern Ontario Open for the World Championship title. Banky's the hottest property in War Machine right now. Sorry,
obviously, I do think Banky would be in competition. Chris Davies, obviously.
What's he done lately? Nothing.
Yeah, well, what's he done since he won everything?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just saying, I'm more like, I'm not really going on accomplishments. I'm just basing it on people that I've watched play. And Jake is so solid. Like, it's.
I would also say Chuck is still always an argument for Chuck.
Well, Chuck, for my money, has always been the best player. He just never played good lists. Like, well, I literally have watched Chuck do this in a tournament. He's just like, I'm like, what are you doing, Chuck? Well, it's divide and conquer. I played this list once. I don't have to play it again. I'm putting it away. So I'm like packing it. So I don't have to deal with it later. So you're just going to play your other list no matter what? Yeah. Okay. Like, and if it was like three lists, he would do the same thing. He would pack one list and pack another. Then he'd have his other list for like his last three rounds or whatever because he didn't want to carry all the models around. Just like, okay, Chuck. And then he would always do well. Like, he'd always be in contention, so.
On a tangent based on what you just said, I went to the qualifier in Oklahoma City, wrote down my three lists, and Durso, it was three lists, two lists were optional. So you could just one list it all day. But Durso put the requirement that you had to have all the models for your second and third list if you wanted to play them, no DNC. He actually looks at my list and goes, did you actually bring that many Chargers? And turns out I did, and he was sad.
how many people showed up for the tournament?
This
was a War Machine Week.
27?
27, and this is a War Machine Weekend Invitational 30? Qualifier?
Yeah. Both the qualifiers, the Arkansas and the Oklahoma qualifiers, the Arkansas one was at like – both were at 30, but the field of the two qualifiers was insane. Perrier, Jeremy Lee – Brett Fogle.
Was there anybody good?
Brandon Shirley, Carl Jones.
Oh, so no.
myself were at all six.
Definitely
Storms
not.
Were at both of those, and David Smith was at Arkansas.
Well, David's pretty good.
Yeah, it was 430 people. You just walk in and go, huh, it's going to be that day.
That was like every tournament for me for a while.
And, well, you know, don't sell yourself short. It hasn't stopped.
Back in the day, we used to – you'd, like, show up at Adepticon, and there'd be, like, 40 people in the tournament, and it would be Pagani, Jake, Chuck, Watt, Keith, Chad, myself, Jeremy Lee. Like, you would go through, and it would be, like, half the field was just killers. So there was, like, maybe one easy round, and then none. It was terrible.
By the way, what's the game plan and agenda for tonight, out of curiosity?
Oh, geez. We're going to do a lightning round. Did you not see our post on Facebook?
No, to be honest.
No, that's fine.
I'm dealing with just a lot of work lately.
Oh, it's no problem.
Yeah, yeah.
The last week and a half has been rough.
Oh, sorry to hear that.
Yeah, it's part of life.
So you're playing Game 3, all the Chargers?
Yes. In fact, I cut the junior for Runewood and another Charger.
Huh.
Oh, shoot.
Good for the game, trademark.
I have not. So I have nine Chargers.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's the nerf incoming.
I already own.
You just need one more Charger.
I already own two Minutemen for the next build.
Do you think that list is unhealthy?
Would you play it in Vlad 1 with all the Rockets?
No, but I'll tell you why later.
Because I'll blow up your list?
I don't have a problem playing. I don't think I have a super. I don't think it would be super terrible for me to play it into Vlad 1 with all the Rockets, because I think with SR-17 and the heightened increase on terrain, I can probably get some stuff to you. And at that point, I mean, I threaten 18, you threaten, what, 19?
Well, I mean, 20 if you're talking about the walk 6, shoot 14. 20.
So I can probably, with locomotion and just playing cagey, get enough stuff off the board.
Uh-huh.
I'm not terribly unhappy with it.
Uh-huh.
My two list pair for lately, though, the one thing I don't want to play it into is Ghost Fleet, ever.
Mm-hmm. Really? Oh, because no magic weapons? Or
The magic weapons is irrelevant. When you're mat 8 going into me and strength 13 and 14 because of feet, I lose all my Chargers. And then I'm sad. Actually, honestly, two to three Revenant crew can basically kill a Charger.
Yeah.
And thankfully you're bringing back 9 a turn. So my second list lately, and this is where Keith should be on so he can laugh at me profusely, is the most obnoxious and goofy looking Kane 1 list ever. So I'm literally running Kane 1, Kane 3.
Okay.
And Kane 1, Sons of the Tempest, it's got a Colossal in it and no Junior, and it's designed to beat Ghost Fleet. But it also has been really good into Kador, which seems strange. So while we're killing time waiting for Scott to drag, it's Kane with in Sons of the Tempest, so no Hurricane. I'm sorry, no Squire. He does have a Hurricane Ace. He has two units of Murder Ponies, two Gun Mages, the Captain Adepts, two of the Riflemen, two Men Mechanics, and I feel like and Arlen.
God, the list chicken is real.
So I tell people this, and they're like, oh, I would just drop such and such. And I tell them that I don't think you see that the list Kane won right now, and maybe I don't have a local signal player for the mirror, but I've got a Colossal that threatens 21 inches with AOE 3s, 23 inches with AOE 3s, 21 inches with knockdown – slam guns that are also magical to get around Windwall. Ace for the stealth for the turn I need it, and all the murder ponies in the world. I've just been playing that into everything and just killing casters. I would play that in a heartbeat into whatever Kador drops. Maybe
I will hold you to that.
Heavy infantry might be the one exception.
Mm-hmm.
Mainly because I think the armor stacking becomes an issue, but everything is def 14 or higher. I've got blur on one unit of murder ponies, and I'll just run across the board and hide and electro leap everything. I had a Chromac 2 player who was fairly confident casting I'm sorry, Chromac 1 casting Savage or Spiny Growth and Camping 4, and then he realized he was off by a lot. I end up – the other thing too is it's not immediately obvious. I end up with 3 Shadow Fires. Yeah. So I played casters that are just like, oh, I'll just hide behind such and such. And I'm like, that's cute.
Yeah, I'm already a little weary of the Shadow Fires just from Kane 3. That guy's a dildo.
Yeah. So – and that's one reason Ace is in Kane 3. That and the mini feat stealth is really good.
All I'm thinking is not against me. You're lucky Meta's not in the format right now. Not in the meta.
I don't know what I do. Meenoth is kind of a tricky situation. After Oklahoma, Puryear and I talked about our match and what he could have done differently.
Did you rimrock him?
He had 5 heavies and choir into Kane 3, and he forgot 1 Shadowfire.
Who?
He forgot Ace had Shadowfire, and that's what it came down to because the second charger killed Sevi. I'm trying to think of who his caster was.
Harby, Sevi, and Krios are like his big favorites.
It was Sevi too. If it was 5 heavies, I almost guarantee you it was Sevi too.
Yeah, it was Sevi too. The prevent damage one.
Yep. The oracular vision guy.
Yep. And it was a good matchup. I had 1 more Shadowfire than he thought I had, and I held that Shadowfire forever and was basically baiting with other guys to draw out shield guards. Hoping he didn't realize I'd had it, so.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, there's enough denial in most good Protectorate lists give you a pretty good run. But, like you said, they have to see it all, and that's tough. Although,
now,
what I love about Puryear is you can always count on him to lose to you in a random way.
Once.
And then after that, maybe never again, but.
So, yeah, I'm really happy with Kane 3. I'm really happy with Striker 2. I'm really happy with Kane 1. And after playing SR17, I don't know how much of the insider changes are going live. I don't know if there's other stuff we don't know about, but Haley 2 is back to being the most abusive caster in the game.
Oh, because of the 5 points?
I think I messaged you to this. I played an opponent, put a solo on both flags and feeded with Haley, who was sitting in the circle zone in the middle. And this is one of the scenarios the map didn't change for them. And my opponent realized I've got a jack and a rectangle, a solo on a flag, a solo on another flag, Haley in the zone, and he needs to contest all 4 of those.
Oh, we have Keith.
He has to do it under Haley 2's feet.
Interesting.
I also played a solid opponent locally who I got 5 control points in 1 turn off of. He was kind of sad that was even possible.
Hey, Keith.
Hello.
How are you, sir?
Musing and amusing.
Nice. Well, we actually haven't started podcasting yet, so.
Oh, really?
Yep. I know, we're talking about War Machine. Brent does not understand how this works, and that's okay.
I was talking about how great Signar is and how it's just absolutely broken and everything is amazing.
It's pretty good.
And Haley 2 is insane again, so.
Did they change her?
5 points in scenario.
SR17 rules. Solo score flags and first win by 5 instead of win by 6.
Is SR2017 official?
Not until lock and load.
3 weeks.
But have they released like the finalized rule document?
They released an insider where they talked about the things they did change, and they talked about that they changed 2 maps, but they didn't change the other 4. And they changed solos to scoring flags instead of circles.
Oh, that's nice. So flags actually sort of matter sometimes now.
Yeah,
I don't have any cheese balls.
Now my caster is in the circle instead of on the flag, and now Haley says you have to contest both of these things in my deployment zone, basically, or I get 2 more points.
Oh, yeah, that's top notch.
This is a podcast of positivity, Keith.
I believe I phrased it with Privateer Press.
That's why I said top notch. It's top notch.
Yeah. Privateer Press, let's make control casters weaker and not a race to scenario. Oh, just kidding. Just kidding.
Oh, Lord. Did you see that I put out a lightning round, Keith?
A what?
A lightning round on the Facebook.
Oh, no.
My favorite is Chad's. Chad actually asked us a question.
Do I need to follow your page now?
No, you don't need to.
I was following Chain Attack instead.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that would explain your play.
Or lack thereof.
Well, I mean, I could do this too. So, like, if you want to have a troll contest, I'm all for it.
If I can dish it out, I better be able to take it, okay?
Excited.
Oh, here we go. So Scott also is jumping in the call at some point here.
Nice. So Keith, we weren't sure you were going to be here, so we recruited some like other guests that actually play War Machine.
Some victims.
Well, it's probably fine. Yeah, I was in rehearsal until a little after 9, and then I had to drive home.
Sure. What are you rehearsing for?
The HMS Pinafore.
Ooh.
Hello.
Hello.
Keith, have you played any CID?
I played a couple of games back in Grimken, and then I played a few with Battle Engines, and then I gave up on the whole thing. I don't like playing CID.
Pagani announced today that they are in internal testing with Cray again, and they're pretty happy with where he is.
I looked briefly at him when he first got posted. I don't know how much has changed since then.
Those 5 Ironclads you've got sitting in a box on the top shelf of your closet, really good now.
Well, they've always been pretty.
What does he do? Does he have tow?
He has admonition and countermeasures is his first 2 spells, plus jump start. Full tilt is battle group wide. 2 focus plus 2 speed as long as you charge or slam. His feat is everything in control range gains beacon and flare. And his 5th spell is lock the target. He also gained a point of rat, a point of armor. And so basically he slingshots jacks. Oh, and Iron Horse's path gives Pathfinder now. So he slingshots Ironclads 14 inches on feet where they proceed to knock your stuff down and then back away. It's like playing Veil 2 without the random feat assassination.
So, Scott, you're on here?
I am.
Welcome.
Hey, Scott. You actually made somebody's event on a weekend or a weekday.
Hey.
Hey, tell them the good news.
The good news is that we checked, and the last person to join the cast does the editing. So John will be giving you a link to some software to download.
Scott, you got this. Don't worry about it. It'll be fine. It's really easy. Keith, tell him.
Well, I can edit it. It's not hard.
I know, but it's going to be more fun to make one of these guys do it.
Oh, okay.
I mean... Yeah,
you just need Audacity. It's not hard.
I cannot guarantee the quality of my editing, but I will be more than happy to try it.
I mean, Scott, we're willing to have you on the cast. We're not worried about quality. I'm sorry. God, I'm a little wound up today. I'm so sorry.
I can't remember. Scott, I know you have to chip in a buck into the jar every time you talk about how bad a player you are. But if it comes up in editing, is that also another dollar?
No, it is not another dollar, Brent.
Wait, Scott, are you a bad player?
Wait.
I can neither confirm nor deny that.
I was aware of this jar rule.
Broke at this point.
You owe at least $3 to that jar just from our game.
I don't owe anything from that game. I was so tired.
Yeah, but you stated several times, like, I'm so bad at this game. I was like, no, let's just get you off the ledge. Come over here, buddy. Let's play. And then you're like, I'm so bad, though. I'm like, no. It's like let's just keep playing. Yeah.
Do y'all do the same thing to Scott that I do where you make sure he eats? Or is that just me?
No, we learned also that day that he needs to have, like, crackers and stuff. We would have had animal crackers or something handy, but
this was at MuseCon, wasn't it?
No, this was the Casey Masters that they had at Mayhem. You were there. Yeah, we played.
No, I think it was like the weekend after Scott almost died.
Yeah.
No, that was technically the weekend before because I almost died in Columbia.
Jesus,
that was bad.
Yeah, don't do that, Scott. Bad. We like you.
Yeah.
Who are we going to troll next year at MomCon? Also, you missed that, Brent.
I missed it a lot.
No, you missed the trolling. You have no idea.
No, I legitimately missed it the entire weekend while I was eating crawfish with everyone.
Mm-hmm. No, I mean,
I was checking for updates on my phone, going, come on, guys, what's going on? Who's winning?
Did you see the Taylor Moon zones?
I did. Tell me you sent a set back with Brandon or Casey Matt.
Yep.
Yeah, they're actually available for sale in the store now.
Yeah, they're just on the store, so you can actually go to the website, and it's one of the options.
Wait, I
suppose we should probably get a release sign.
I saw Scott's face on these zones, but you said Taylor Moon. Is that like his face photoshopped on Sailor Moon?
No, he happened to be doing the Sailor Moon pose just on his own. And we found a picture of him just being Sailor Moon. And we're like, okay, well.
I don't even know. I don't know how you found that picture. I don't know who took that picture. I don't know where you got that picture.
Scott. I just want to be absolutely clear. Assuming you do go to Gateway, and assuming you do split a room with me, at no point do I want to see your Taylor flash.
Brent, I can assure you that at no point you will ever see my Taylor flash.
All right.
Okay.
So did I hear that Learn to Wargame has some beef with Nigel?
Yeah, Taylor, fill us in. What's this Bullet Dodger stuff?
Yeah. This Bullet Dodger stuff? Yeah, so here's the deal. You troll the holy living shit out of me to the proportion that only Brent can get close to matching. Who has not matched this yet? That's not a challenge, Brent. Shut up.
I bought you earrings.
You troll me to this. You did. You bought my wife earrings, which that doesn't. Yeah, no,
I made them.
Doesn't make that any better, actually. Yeah. Anyways, so you troll me to this level, and then you don't even show up. Like, mm-hmm. You know I'm going to be headhunting me some Nigel.
Yeah.
And Nigel doesn't even show up. Mm-hmm. You totally bullet dodge.
Scott, I don't know if anyone's told you this. It's only headhunting when you win.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Also, I don't think I'm the bullet dodger. I think the 35 people at the tournament dodged a bullet. They're just lucky I didn't show up. 10 marauders. I wouldn't know what to do. They just run right through Ghost Fleet.
So the marauder plan for Ghost Fleet is to get lunch early?
Yeah.
With your L? Okay.
What?
Just making sure.
Well, you got the rockets. I got the rocket backup. I don't need to. I can shoot a lot of guns at them. You can't bring that many dudes back. It's only 12 a turn. Come on.
At max.
If I'm killing 36 a turn, who cares?
All right. So what's going to be a little bit weird is we have 3 people on Skype. And there's a little bit of a Skype delay. So do you think we should do more of an MC for this cast than we normally do?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. So I can try to do that, or you can try to do that.
You can do that. We also have a lightning round, so we got a cool lightning round to do. But then also it's kind of lucky because I don't know if Keith's been playing. Aurora can MC.
Cool. All right. So the way we're going to do this podcast, we're going to start with the lightning round and see if any of those questions lead us into anything we want to talk about. And what I'll do basically is I'll read a question from the lightning round, and then I'll call on one of you guys. Does that sound good?
Sure.
Is everybody good with that? Keith, you good with that?
Okay.
All right.
Yes.
Yes, sir.
And thank you guys for coming on and helping us out since Josh couldn't be here due to his sunburn injury. Poor guy.
Okay,
He's dedicated himself to becoming the next Grimkin. So he's going to be the lobster people.
So Keith, Sunny comes into work and she's like, oh my God, Josh is such a pussy. He's naked at home. He can't put clothes on because he's too sunburned. I'm just like, what? He's like, yeah, he literally can't get dressed because his skin is too sore. After I told him, hey, we're going to be out in the sun. Why don't you put on some sunscreen? And he's like, nah, I'll be fine. He proceeds to get burnt so bad that he literally can't put on clothes, hasn't been to work for 2 days. She's been waiting on him like hand and fist. Like,
what did y'all do?
I think they went to the pool.
I mean, I've seen Josh. He's not that pale.
The combination of stupidity and baby there is pretty entertaining.
I told him I was going to light him up this week, so... We're definitely doing
I'm sure he won't get you back. I'm positive. That doesn't sound like Josh at all.
All right, this might be my best plan. Okay, well, let's start a podcast. You guys ready?
Absolutely.
What number are we on?
316?
Is it that
316 sounds like the last one we did, so I'm going to double check.
314. 313 is the last one.
Hang on a sec.
I'm literally looking at the 6 pages of bullshit that I caused last time. So.
Nice.
So it's 314.
You crumb bum and you're bullshit causing.
What? I'm not a crumb bum.
You're crumb bumming.
I am a scion of positivity.
Oh.
I love all things and all people, and I love all games, including War Machine. No, I do. Actually, I still love War Machine.
That's not how love works. You pick your favorite.
Well, I mean, never mind.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he was immediately like, well, Brendan. Then he was like,
damn it.
Sorry, I rambled.
Oh, no, it's no. It was probably way more my fault. This is sort of my actual MO, is right at the end of the podcast, I ask really stupid questions that are impossible to answer in 10 minutes, and then we talk for like 44 minutes.
Also, I was doing good not being a Negatron.
Needed you to not involve, like, get in. I was like, totally for Brent and Scott, like, I just want to get like a general consensus of the internet, because I know that they're both active on Facebook and a lot of the groups. Yeah. And then I was like, oh no. Danger Will Robinson.
I thought you were taking some time off, John.
What, from the podcast? I was, but there was only 2 of us tonight, so we literally like,
I'm always willing to do a 2-man show, if necessary. We can make that work.
Mm-hmm. And actually, if like, you know, Brent and Scott or whatever, whoever wants to jump in the call, I love having these guys on.
Yeah, you guys were great.
Yeah, well, who was it?
Colin from Australia said he would join us sometime.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Fantastic.
Colin Hill.
No Tom Gwan. Tom Gwan doesn't want to talk about magic.
Yeah, we were going to call Tom. I'm like, no, that's a bad plan.
Yeah, that'd be the salt tank for 2 hours.
You would also not know the correct answer, which is sell all your magic cards and roll in the money.
Mm. So who all is coming to Gateway, by the way, this weekend?
I really, really, really wanted to, and I had actual plans to. I didn't realize it was A, this weekend, and B, I don't think I can currently right this second afford it. So that sort of precludes me from going. Keith, maybe. I don't think anybody from Des Moines is even on their radar. Like, I think if I told somebody tomorrow, hey, Gateway open, they'd be like, what? That's this weekend? Like, I think they'd all be shocked. So
I won't make it, no. I've got rehearsals from now until shows at the beginning of next month, pretty much. It's the end of next month, beginning of August.
God, are we going to have to drive out there to see this, whatever this is going on?
Yeah.
Do you like Gilbert and Sullivan?
No. I mean, I don't know. I'll give it a try. I'll try anything 3 times.
I'm just in the chorus. It's not anything super special.
Oh.
That's still be fun to come see you.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. This is sort of a community.
We want to, come support our friends, Keith.
Yeah.
It'll be a good show. We're doing, I think, 7 shows.
Nice. Brent, you want to go with us to, how about you, Scott? You guys want to go see Gilbert and Sullivan?
What script were you reading before you came here?
What
were you reading before you, what script were you reading before you came up? Or got on the call?
Script was I read? Oh, I was at rehearsal. We were singing. It's HMS Pinafore. If you know Gilbert and Sullivan music at all, you might know from this one, He Is an Englishman is from, this one
I'm trying to think. It's tempting to drive 8 hours just to watch John sit through a pirate musical.
No, this one's not a pirate musical, sadly. No, this one's, it is about sailors, but they're not pirates in this case. You're thinking of Pirates of Penzance. Which would definitely then be about pirates.
Yes.
Brent, I'm still checking to find out what my weekend schedule looks like. As soon as I can get it cleared, I'll give you the heads up or no on the Gateway open.
Okay.
Did you guys see Wonder Woman?
I did.
Not yet.
I've been told it's really good, surprisingly better than anticipated.
I mean, it was certainly better than any of the other DC movies.
I think it was better than a lot of the Marvel movies.
I think it was also better than a lot of the Marvel movies. Yeah, I would rate it. It was actually, to me, it struck me as very similar to Captain America, the original Captain America.
Well, there's a lot of parallels, but yeah, I agree.
And it was good for a lot of the same reasons. And I thought Gal Gadot did a great job. And just generally, it was really, really good.
There were so many nice touches in that movie. I think one of the things I appreciated was everybody in Themyscira, you know, all the Amazonians, they spoke like Gal Gadot does. So they all picked up her Israeli accent. So that's just how they speak from there, which was great. Because it just added immersion to the movie. You're just like, oh, well, that's actually really cool. And then... Buttercup, Robin Penn?
Wright.
Oh yeah, formerly Robin Penn, right?
Yep.
She was awesome. She was fantastic.
Yeah, for a small part, she really brought it home.
Yeah, she looked.
The only thing that I was like a little bit thrown off was the casting of like that little British guy for the God of War. I was like, not really buying it.
I said the same thing. I was like, come on, guys, are you serious right now? It was a lot.
I don't think when I hear Ares, God of War, I don't think mousy British dude. Not really my go-to.
I agree. They should have got The Rock, right?
I don't know about that.
The Rock would have been a great Ares.
Mm-hmm. Or Hemsworth.
Hemsworth.
Or Momoa.
Momoa, yeah. Any of those guys. Even Armie Hammer or who's the other guy in the Guy Ritchie movie? Man from U.N.C.L.E.?
Superman?
Yeah, Superman. Mm-hmm. Cable.
Yeah.
I mean, even in that same room of British dudes, they had the guy who played the elder Mormont in Game of Thrones. Like, he looks more like Ares than the guy they had do it.
Hmm.
Yeah, no, that.
Oh man, that.
Go ahead, Scott.
I was just gonna say that the elder Mormont, like that dude, was super sweet in Game of Thrones. Like, he just had like that air of like you don't want to mess with me because you have no idea what's about to happen to you.
Just general badassery.
Silly person. Yeah, exactly. Like a dude walks in the room and say like dude walks in a bar, sailors go running out. Like he's just that cool.
And the fight with Ares overall, where he was just basically being Magneto for most of it, I was like,
No,
I think my favorite part was the scene of her going over the trench. over, and then into the town.
Oh, like, when
trench to town was the best section of that film.
Oh yeah, when she went through no man's land.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah. That was pretty spectacular.
It was fantastic. Yeah, the imagery was great, and then just the there's a lot of meaning. Yeah, that whole thing, because that's the first time you see her in costume, right? So, in her full regalia. Yeah, it's a very powerful scene. I think I agree with you, Keith.
Guys, I think I'm gonna go.
I gotta dash as well.
But John, you deserve the pirate joke with that question you asked me. What are you looking forward to most this year? There are 24 people listening to this cast who would clip that bit out and send it to Gina.
There are probably five or four
on this cast right now who would have done that.
Well, no. What we're gonna do is we're gonna edit a little creative editing, and then we're gonna send it to her anyway. So it's fine.
You have so. Dion is wearing a shirt to my reception that says Third Tries the Charm.
Okay.
This will be my second wedding.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, no. Gina's wearing a shirt that says, I'm doing it for the insurance. Let me think. How many other things have come up where I'm just going to get grief? Chris Collins has been saving specific photos to have the local t-shirt shop print onto shirts to embarrass me. Yeah.
Brent, do you think maybe you might have earned some of this acrimony? Like,
oh no, I think I earned basically all of it.
Okay.
Yeah, I was gonna say there's no some of this involved. It is every bit.
I mean, did you not see the video I got Scott where I got Scott with earrings?
Huh.
I took my Hellmouth tentacles, made them into earrings, had them delivered to his wife, and she showed up at game night wearing Hellmouth tentacles.
Nice.
So the worst I ever did was one of my friends was giving me grief because I'm such an upbeat, positive person that she just has to tear stuff down. And, I showed up at her birthday party with this box, and she opens it up and it says Dez's big box of broken hopes and dreams. And inside I had hot glued little ceramic plates with hope, the word hope or dream, and a little, my dream is blank where you could fill it in, or I had smashed them with a hammer. One of her, I had put in, my hope is one day my husband will figure out how to use the vacuum cleaner. My dream is to one day use my college English degree. Stuff like that. Trust me. I know I've earned every bit of grief I've ever gotten.
Fantastic. All right. Well, so, somehow we turned this into 2 hours and 32 minutes of podcast, which is miserable. Mm-hmm. But I'm glad
y'all have a good one.
I'm glad I don't have to edit it, so it'll be fine.
Guys, thanks again for being on.
Yeah, we really appreciate
it.
Anytime. You guys actually gave us some much needed perspective, and I actually really, really appreciated that.
Anytime. Right. Have a good one.
Not sure Godspeed. How much good I was. Thanks for having me on, guys.
You were fantastic. All right. Peace.